I was like, I'm going to have to read the scripture anyways. I might as well just do it all at once. And so, and I forgot to tell Mark about that. So we tried to have this whole, like, ESP thing going on, but apparently we're still working out the bugs. So, all right, if you could, please turn to Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. I'll give you guys a chance to get there. Want to welcome you all out. It's a good crowd. This crowd is definitely bigger than this crowd. I don't know what happened over here. But obviously, I mean, let's just say it. You guys are the more spiritual ones. You know, I mean that's but start reading this. Genesis chapter 3, 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou art returned to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The title of this morning's sermon is Dust Thou Art. If you guys recall, and actually before I go there, I'm going to give you guys some facts that I've learned. Most of the human body is made up of water. I think most of you know that, which means it's made up of H2O. So breaking our body down into elements, we are made up of, and I believe this is actually an order of weight, we are made up of oxygen, then carbon, then hydrogen, then nitrogen, then calcium, then phosphorus. And you guys know that. So that's oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, and phosphorus. I just thought you guys should know that. That is a very interesting fact to me. But then I thought, you know, I wonder what good soil is made up of. And I'm going to tell you. Good soil is actually made up of about 13 nutrients. The best soil, the top soil in the world, is made up of about 13 nutrients. Now, of these, there's some non-mineral nutrients. They're hydrogen, oxygen, and carbon. And then among the mineral nutrients, the primary ones contain phosphorus and nitrogen, and then a non-primary one, so I guess secondary one, is calcium. It's pretty interesting, right? So the human body is made up of oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, phosphorus, and good soil is made up of just a little bit more than oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, and phosphorus. That's weird. It's almost as if we were made up of the same things, which would be really weird if the Bible tied that in somehow. And let me see if I can find something. Oh, yeah, here it is. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, that's interesting. So you're telling me that this book, which was written, 3,500 years ago, at least this part of the Bible was, knew that we were made up of the same elements as soil. See, it's almost like God was involved with this book. I don't even know how. That's weird. That's just weird. You guys want to know something else interesting that I found out? And I'll take you to Genesis 2:7 for this. And give me a second. Let me get to 2:7 here. All right. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. I'm wondering if we were the first, if humans were the first things grown in the Garden of Eden. I don't know if that's true. I just think that would be cool. Because we are formed before the Garden of Eden. That's what the Bible says. Because then he places us there. So I'm wondering if God was like, all right, I'm taking some of this dirt, and I'm plant man, and man just popped up. And he's like, all right, now I'm put a garden around you. Well, maybe that's not right. But it'd be kind of cool if we were the first things, because the Garden of Eden had some really cool stuff in it. Can we admit that the Garden of Eden had some really cool... It had a tree that could make, that could give you everlasting life. That's kind of awesome. And it had another tree that could make you know the difference between good and evil. That's kind of awesome. I'm assuming there were other trees that we just don't know about. Because I don't know if there were only two trees that were special like that. Because obviously there's probably apple trees. But if there was a tree that was like, I don't know, give you like the ability to breathe underwater. I don't know if that's true. That'd be a cool tree though. And if there was that tree, I blame Adam for not trying out all the other awesome trees in there before he tried out the one that would, of course, ultimately doom him, right? But I just think it's very interesting that we are made up the same stuff as dirt, and that's what God says, which really shouldn't be that interesting because God said it. But let's just keep going with this. We're made out of dirt. We're made out of dust, all right? But I'm going to say dirt because it says dust, but I like the term dirt because that's what you grow stuff in. And dirt is just, it's more fun. I mean, dust is kind of like, because when we think of dust, it means dirt in what we think of. When we think of dust, we think of dead skin cells. And that's not what I don't think God was talking about, because it's the dust of the ground, and the ground does not have dead skin cells. So it's just dirt, all right? We're made out of this that is gross, icky stuff, because dirt's kind of icky, all right? Especially really fertile dirt, because it's made up of, like, a bunch of carbon, a bunch of, like, and in our day and age, maybe not in this day and age, but a bunch of old dead stuff, and it's going to get sticky, and it'll get you all messy, and you'll get black stuff all over your hands if you're digging it, and it'll get under your fingernails, and it never quite leaves your fingernails. And then you try to bite your fingernails, and you're like, oh. So you can't bite your fingernails, and so dirt kind of ruins that. But, in fact, dirt is so, like, let's be honest, dirt is kind of so beneath us that when we want to describe something as unclean or filthy, we call it dirty. Dirt's not great. So, let's just be honest. You guys are just dirt that God just went to. I don't know, maybe he went, maybe he coughed on you, maybe, I don't know. But it was the breath of God, and dirt makes you guys. So you should be real special about yourself, all right? I'd feel pretty special. I mean, I'm so you guys are just, you're a bunch of dirt. And I love you guys, because I'm a bunch of dirt too. And I'm quite a bit more dirt than some of you. But you guys are dirt, which is okay. It's how God made us. But it kind of gives us some lessons about ourselves. You see, because dirt is really more useful than it is pretty. All right? Let's be honest. It's more meant to be used than it is meant to be beautiful. Dirt can be beautiful. I mean, there's some landscapes that without dirt would look really weird. So it can be beautiful. But that's not why God had dirt made. It was meant to be. So our vanity that we have should be kind of like the vanity of dirt, all right? And let me tell you something, dirt's not very vain. Let me take you to 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that is now, of which that is to come. Beauty is vain, all right? In fact, beauty is so vain, and everyone knows that so much, that Vanity Fair is called Vanity Fair, the magazine, right? I mean, it's actually called that. Beauty is vain, all right? It doesn't really matter. All right, listen, the Bible says that bodily exercise profited a little, right? And I believe that. Of course it profited a little. It'll keep you alive longer, and that's good, right? But beauty itself is vain. And you know what beauty doesn't matter to? I mean, yes, beauty matters to, like, peacocks. Peacocks actually really like beauty. They're like, hey, look at that giant like tail feathers. That's awesome. But we weren't made out of peacocks. We made out of dirt. And so while I like things to look nice, don't get me wrong, I married a pretty woman because I like pretty things. And I bought this awesome tie because I like pretty things. But you know what? This awesome tie, it doesn't matter that much. Because dirt's not supposed to be pretty. It doesn't have to be pretty. That's not why dirt exists. It exists to be useful. And let me tell you something. If your beauty, when I'm speaking of vanity, but if your looks and what everything looks like on the outside is more important than your usefulness to God, then you're not a good kind of dirt. A good kind of dirt grows things. A good kind of dirt, I hate to say, is broken. If you're one of the, and like this, I'm not gonna like insult anyone here, but if you're someone who would rather not get dirty or get filthy, going and hugging a little kid that rode on the bus, and you know, oh, I've been there. Trust me. If I had kids, like, I'm wearing like this. I got a brand new, and I'm very vain. Okay, I'm just letting you guys know that right now. I'm very vain. So I'm not preaching against you. I'm preaching against me. I got this brand new overcoat, and it was a couple years ago. It's the one I wore today. Brand new overcoat, and it's nice. It's Calvin Klein. I got a great deal, and I was very happy about it. And I get on the bus because I was picking up kids on the bus. This kid, I said you guys were made out of dirt. This kid may have been made out of dirt, like actually made out of dirt. Gets on the bus and he hugs me, and my initial reaction is ah, and you want to take me on just like yeah, and you peel him off. But my job on this earth isn't to look pretty. My job is to be useful. After all, I'm made out of dirt. So you take that hug, and then you cry over your, you use your tears to wipe off your brand new coat, and you're so beautiful, and it just got dirt on it. But our job is to be useful. Let me tell you something. I told you that dirt can be pretty. It really can. If you have some dirt that's unbroken, like the ground, if it's unbroken, it can be very pretty. You know, landscapes can be very pretty. But here's the thing. Unbroken ground, unbroken dirt doesn't grow nothing. That's double negative, I know it, but I want to emphasize it. It grew nothing. All right? You can't put a seed in something that's too hard on the outside. You want to be useful to God? You want to make you want to make yourself count? You got to let God break you. You got to let God inside of you. You got to let him actually penetrate all of your exterior things. And then maybe God can really grow something. Because as everyone knows, you just set a seed on top of ground. Yeah, it looks pretty right there. A seed on top of that perfectly firm ground. That's hard ground. You ain't going to grow nothing. You got to break it. But a vanity extends to more than just beauty. Vanity, unfortunately, extends to riches. Ecclesiastes 2, 8 through 11. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings and of provinces. And I get men, and I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than there were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired from them, or desired, I kept not from them, and withheld not my heart from any joy. And my heart rejoiced in all labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. It's King Solomon, richest man, probably to ever live, maybe not. A lot of people like to say he is, but you know, I don't know. Rockefeller was a really rich dude, so maybe he beat him. I don't know. But wisest man ever. I'll give Solomon that. Other than Jesus, of course. But Solomon, very rich man, super rich, had everything he wanted. Everything he wanted. He didn't desire one thing, didn't have it. And not only that, but he made great business deals. One of the reasons, and I believe, I guess quite a few people believe this with me, one of the reasons Solomon had so many wives was because they were like business deals. He He'd marry someone so he could get a bunch of land, all right? Or so he could make a treaty with another country. Very good businessman. And you know what? He got all these riches. But the one thing that he forgot is that we as human beings, our purpose in life is not to get rich. It's vanity. Our purpose in life isn't to get rich. You want to know why? Because we're dirt. We're meant to be useful. We're dirt. Let me tell you something. And this is something, I went and I didn't read you all the list of, because there are a few other nutrients found in soil. But you know what I didn't find in there? I didn't find any gold. Oh no, I didn't find any silver. I did find carbon, so I guess diamonds could be in there, but I doubt it. Because if you have a bunch of diamonds in your soil, it's not really going to grow that well. I found that when you put riches in soil, when you put other things besides what's meant to be in soil, and you put an overabundance of one thing, say you do have a lot of carbon, say you do have diamonds, a bunch of that carbon, it's going to kind of drown out some of the other stuff that you're supposed to have, unfortunately. Thing about dirt is that what makes a soil rich isn't the gold or silver or all the pretty things found inside of it. What makes a soil rich, in the term rich soil, is how well it can grow stuff, how useful it is. You're made out of dirt, and that's cool because I'm made out of dirt too. But you know what? It's cool with God too. God made you dirt. Because if God wanted to, by the way, if God wanted to make us out of gold, he could have said, and I took some gold and some diamonds and some rubies and some sapphires, and I breathed on them, and then they became humans. But, man, he wanted us to bear fruit. He wanted us to do stuff for him. And so here's the thing, if you're pouring a lot of gold in your life, if you're pouring a lot of silver, maybe you'll grow something. I think that, by the way, you go back to the 1800s, mid-1800s, the gold rush, there was gold that they could have just go and pick up on the ground. And there was some gold that was just a little bit deep, you know, it wasn't, some that wasn't. And you know what, maybe it didn't even hinder stuff. And that's great. Let me tell you something. If you can make a lot of money without hindering your spiritual growth or without hindering your witnessing to others or without hindering your church going or without hindering any of that, if you can make a lot of money, please make a lot of money. And then tithe, right? Like, all right, if you can become a bazillionaire, do it. But if that bazillion dollars, which every time I use this in teen class, one of my very intelligent kids reminds me that bazillion is not a real number. Every time. But I'm going to keep using it just to annoy that kid. So if you make a mega bazillion dollars, right? That's great. I hope you do make a mega bazillion dollars. But if you sacrifice 1 ounce of spiritual growth for that, that's not good. Because the more you pour in, man, you better pour in some serious prayer, because let me tell you something, gold, if you have more gold than you have soil in your life, you ain't going to grow nothing. And maybe you'll be pretty, but that's vanity. And we're dirt. What do we have to be vain about? What do we have to like ourselves about? I mean, listen, we're a child of God, and that's great. But right now we have this earthly body, not even our spiritual body. We have this earthly body, which is made of the same, even if you're not going to take the Bible word, it is made out of the same stuff as dirt. And what, I mean, what good is it other than, you're not going to turn yourself to gold, no offense. Alchemy doesn't work. You're not going to turn yourself to gold. You're always going to remain this dirt. So you know what? You might as well be useful. So we should be as vain as dirt. You know what we should also be? We should be as prideful as dirt is prideful. Because vanity is, you know, I mean, dirt's obviously not vain because you've seen dirt. Dirt's like, I'm just dirt. But dirt's not prideful either. In fact, I'm pretty sure dirt doesn't have 1 ounce of pride. Let me read Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. In Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Let me tell you something about dirt. Have you ever guys ever used the expression lower than dirt? Do you want to know why they came up with the expression lower than dirt? Because they couldn't think of anything lower than dirt. That's why. Except for like nerds to be like lower than magma. But they're nerds. All right? You don't want to be a nerd. But lower than dirt is like, man, dirt's on the ground. Let's just use that. You know, they want to insult someone. They're like, Jimmy, you're lower than... He's like looking around. He's like, there's a bush. He's like, oh, there's a shrub. It's lower than the... You're lower than a shrub. No. They look at him. Oh, there's dirt. Actually, he saw the grass. And he's like, oh, the grass. And he's like, oh, there's dirt underneath the grass. You're lower than dirt. All right, he could have said lower than worms. But you know what's beneath a worm? Dirt. Let me tell you something. That kind of tells you what dirt is. If dirt is that low on the ground, if that's what we walk on every day. I'm walking on carpet right now, but underneath this carpet somewhere is dirt. If that's what we walk on, man, shouldn't that tell us how we should react to our own pride? And by the way, this is how cool God is. God breathed on dirt to make us. Let me just tell you that, because that's cool in and of itself. Think about it. God breathed on dirt, and he made this. Right? I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, like, you know, I mean, Robbie, I mean, it's not really that impressive that God breathed on dirt and made that, but this, that's impressive right there. But that's a side point. The fact is, dirt's beneath us. Dirt's beneath everything, except for magma, nerds. And that's how we should live. Listen, we're not above anyone or anything God has us to do. Dirt's not really meant to be lifted up high. Let me give you an example. Has anyone here ever taken that cup of dirt when you were in kindergarten and grown a bean in it? Right? All right, now, that cup of dirt, bam, right here. What grows a corn stalk? A cup of dirt that's all the way up here, or dirt outside on the ground? It gets trampled on all the time. Let me tell you, when dirt gets lifted up high, it kind of defeats the purpose. When dirt gets lifted up high, it can't really bury roots that down low. Maybe you have a bunch of dirt up here. Can you grow a tree in it? I mean, even if it's a nice little... You guys have seen those roof gardens, right? I don't have a roof garden because it wouldn't work. And because I don't like heights and I don't like gardening. So, roof garden people and me, we're just totally different things. We're both made of dirt, but we're both different. Because I just don't get it. But yeah, those roof garden people... It's great, and it's cool. You know, it's cool. If you're living in the city and you have an apartment, you can have a garden on the roof, and I think that's kind of awesome. Plus, it makes the roofs actually look prettier than just, like, you know, an air vent. It's cool. You know, I respect them. Although sometimes it can totally leak, and this is just a side point for you guys thinking about starting a roof garden. It can leak and come, like, ruining your ceiling and crashing through and all that jazz. That happened a couple years ago, anyways. But the point is... There's a roof garden, and that's cool. And you can grow some small tomato plants, and you can probably grow a cucumber, maybe even a bush. But you can't grow an oak tree. But for some reason, even as well kept as that, and as pretty as that roof garden is, you know what's better at growing an oak tree than that? The dirt outside. The dirt that no one's taken care of. That, in fact, no one's ever touched. That no one's ever looked upon to say, that's really special ground right there. That's what grows our trees. If you're filled with pride, and if you've lifted yourself up high, my question is, what can you really grow? Because that's just going to get in the way. That cup, that bean, now, Like I said, I have no problem against the bean in the cup. But you know where that dirt probably is going to be more useful? It was poured into a garden. Because then it could be a part of something awesome. Which also tells us about how we are as Christians. It tells us about how we should react to each other. I love you guys. You guys are great Christians. You're great people. And I love being a part of this church. But think about this. If you separate yourself from your other Christians, it's like separating, I don't know, a couple feet of dirt from all the rest of the dirt. And maybe we're all separated. Maybe we're all just in little dirt piles everywhere. Maybe it'll grow something in there. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a gardener. Maybe you can grow something in there. But I think we are meant to be together. I think we are meant to work together. And by the way, you can only work together if one of you isn't higher than the other. Because even ground grows things a lot better than a garden that looks like this, you know? Even ground looks a lot better. So admitting that we're all dirt and bringing ourselves all down to the same level, we can actually make a difference in this world. We can actually grow some serious fruit. But if we're all separate, now this is my pile of dirt, and I'm walking up here to this hill. I don't know if dirt walks, but if it could, it'd be like walking up this hill. I'm setting myself way up here on top of all you other dirts. Okay, that's fine. But here's another point about dirt and pride. You know that the best moisture is in the valley, not on top of the mountain? I used to live in the Rocky Mountains, and that's awesome because the Rockies are great. But Colorado kind of stinks. No offense to anyone else from Colorado. They're all liberals there nowadays. So if you haven't been there in a while, I apologize. They are all liberals. So if you're liberal, yeah, go for it, man. But I'm just saying, move to Colorado. They'd love you there. But here's the thing. I used to live in the Rockies, and here's the thing about the Rockies. They're beautiful, and I really like them. But you know what I don't see on top of the mountains out there? I don't see any trees. I don't see any trees at all. Now, they're cool, and God created them, and they're really awesome. But man, ain't nothing grows up there. They actually have what they call tree line. Tree line is above this, ain't nothing grows. That's what it means. And yes, that was another double negative. Nothing grows. Why? Because the higher you lift yourself up, the higher you are, the more useless you become to God. Sorry, it's true. The higher you're lifted up in your own spirit, I'm this important, so I can't do this, or I won't do this, or I don't have time for this because I'm too important doing something else. You're just lifting yourself higher and higher, and maybe you'll go above that tree line, and God's like, well, I can't use that till it comes down the mountain. And you know how dirt gets down a mountain? Rock falls, which are painful. Here's something else about being in the valley, though. Lowering yourself as much as possible. You get a lot of moisture down there. When the rains come, and if anyone doubts this, they can look out there in the ditch on a rainy day. When the rains come, you don't see up here next to the sidewalk, you don't see a big puddle up here. They get wet, obviously. But all the water gathers at the lowest possible point inside of the ditch. And if you guys know your Bible, water is a representation of Christ. Water goes to the low places. God comes to the man who lowers himself. You want to know God? Maybe you're too high up on yourself. Maybe you're too interested in knowing yourself right now. You know, that's one of the things about college I went to a secular college for a couple of years. And one of the things that everyone tells you is you'll learn yourself. You'll know yourself better. And that's not necessarily a bad thing to know yourself because you know what your strengths and weaknesses are and you know what you want and all that jazz. But if you're constantly on a journey to find yourself, you might never find God. Because here's the cool thing that I've learned about God is that you try to find yourself. You know what? Maybe you'll find him. But if you find God first, you'll know where you are exactly. You know your position. When you find God, you know your position. You know where you are. And you know where you are, unfortunately? You're dirt. And I say unfortunately. I don't really find it that unfortunate. I think it's kind of cool. Dirt's where, or the low places where all the moisture are. The low places can grow better things than anything else. But and flatter surfaces grow better than rocky surfaces. I just want to say we work better when we're brought down low, where dirt should be, without pride. And I have one more point. My first one was, of course, dirt. We should have be about as vain as dirt is, because that's what we are. Second one is we should be about as prideful as dirt is, because we're dirt. But the third one, usually you're supposed to line up your points, and I learned this. Usually you're supposed to line up, we should be as this as this, we should be as this as this. Okay, this third one, not at all involved with these points. But I'm just going to go back to the text. Till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You see, we need to examine ourselves as dust, as dirt. Right? We need to examine ourselves as without pride, without vanity, without importance. As something to be walked upon, but as something to be used for God, for the gardener. Right? That's how we need to examine ourselves. That's how we need to look at ourselves. And that's how we need to feel about ourselves. But here's something else you can learn from being just like dirt. Is eventually, you're going to return to the dirt. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. I hate to say it. It's one of those points I don't think anyone likes to talk about. You want to know one of the most for sure things in life is? Probably the best bet you'll ever make. Not really a betting person, but if I was, here's the best bet you're ever going to make. You're going to die. All right? That's just it. You're going to die. In fact, and by the way, and this is something you need to, God did raise us from dirt, right? You know, he raised us out of dirt. But you know what? Man messed up. Man sinned. And so now, man will be lowered back to the dirt. It's kind of like a little contract. All right, this pile of dirt here, you're going to become a human. But if you sin, you're going back to the dirt. And you know what we sinned? We're going back to the dirt. Nothing you're going to be able to do about it. Let me, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I really like it when the Bible says something better than you can. So I'm going to read it one more time, because as much as I can preach that you're going to die because of sin, the Bible says it a lot better. I mean, it was written by God, so that's why. But wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then let me read one more to you about our mortality. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. See, here's the thing. The verse, and unto dust thou shalt return, wasn't known until after man sinned. But now that we sinned, but we were given life, and though we were dirt, we were given life. God gave dirt life. That's kind of cool. Dirt was life, right? But through sin, we squandered that opportunity. So as the Bible says, we're going to return to that dirt. But let me run back to Genesis 2:7. I just want to prove something to you. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And we know that. We've been talking about that this whole time. And breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, right? And man became a living soul. Okay, So here's the question, then. We're dirt. Our bodies made out of dirt. Same nutrients, right? Same elements? I think I proved that to you. Same elements as dirt. So we're made out of dirt. But when we return to the dirt, something's left over. All right? It's your soul. Well, the soul wasn't made out of the dirt. The soul was made out of God, the breath of God's nostrils. That's what I said. Nostrils in the verse. Did I make that up? I'm going to read it one more time. Make sure. Yeah, no, it says nostrils. So we are formed out of God's breath. Well, that doesn't return to the dirt because that was another ingredient. It's like if you mixed a bunch of blue marbles and three red marbles. You take away all the blue marbles, put them back in their blue marble case, what's left? Three red marbles. God can't turn his breath into dirt because that's not what it was. That wasn't one of the main ingredients. So he created a soul. Well, now this soul exists. So what happens to it when we return to the dirt, when our bodies return to the dirt? I'm going to read Hebrews 9:27. Just because I'm one of those people who, if you tell me something once, I won't listen to it. And if you tell me again, I probably won't listen to it, but there's a better chance of it that time. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, that's us returning to the dirt. And then you say, well, what happens to that soul? But after this, the judgment. That's kind of scary. Because if we are perfect, we wouldn't have been returned to the dirt anyways. So obviously we've already failed our opportunity. We've already failed as someone deserving a soul. So what happens to you? Because that's why God gave us a choice. That's why God gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus is like, all right, you guys, you're sinning. I get that. And I want you to stop sinning. So here's what I'm going to do. This is God. This is what God thought. You have a we need a place for your soul because your soul can't return to the dust. So because wickedness, sin, goes to hell, you would automatically be bound towards hell. But I don't think God wanted to do that. I don't think God wanted to send everybody to hell. So you know what he did? He's made throughout history ways, and all these ways leading up to sending his son Jesus Christ, right? And he said, all right, here's your way to where you're going to get another body. If you believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to get another body. After your old one's gone. But I'm going to take that breath of life and I'm going to put in another body. And you know what? This body ain't going to be made out of dirt. It's a glorified body. And there's nothing glorious about dirt. So I'm assuming this new body that we could get ain't going to be made out of dirt. So I really don't know what its purpose is going to be. I know it's going to be praise God, but I'm pretty interested. I don't know if you're interested too. But here's the thing. You either have a choice to have your body return to dust. I know most of you know this, but listen, you either have a choice to have your body return to dust and your soul without a body for all eternity in hell, or you have a choice to make your body that's made out of dirt right now useful. And then when you lose your body, wait for it, you get another body that's even better. I don't understand. And all you have to do, you don't have to climb a mountain to find a magical crystal, although I think some people would find that easier than what you do have to do. You just have to have faith in God. You have to have faith that God sent his son. You need to accept that. That's all you have to do. You need to accept that Jesus came, paid for your sins with his blood, and then rose again. That's all you need to do. My question is, if you haven't done that yet, and you know this, if you don't know that, it's not your problem. It's like someone who, I'm one of those people who, like, I'm like, oh, I have a headache, and my wife's like, did you take some Motrin? I'm like, no. Well, see, Motrin would cure that headache. But if you don't know about the Motrin, then you're never going to take it. But here's the thing. If you know about it, so I don't want to call you stupid. Because that's not very nice. I'm not going to call you ignorant because you know what it is. So we're going to call you on the fence, all right? If you never accepted Christ as your Savior. But I will liken it to someone. Let's talk about Bob. Bob was a guy who leased a car, right? Didn't have the money to pay for it, but he leased a car. And the guy who leased it to him is like, all right, here's the thing. You sign this deal that says that you don't have the money to pay for it, and you want me to pay for it. Now, listen, I'll pay for it. You just have to ask me. And if you do that, you know what I'm going to do? After you lease the car, I'm going to give you a whole new car. It's going to be a better car. And Bob's sitting there thinking, if your name is Bob, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Robbie. But is that really a hard choice? I will pay off your car now and give you a new car when it's done. Or you're just going to lose this car and have no money or car. If someone offered that to me, I would take it. And Bob should take it. But Bob's pretty prideful. He doesn't want no one paying for his car. He doesn't even believe that money's going to come through because he won't give it a chance. Even though it doesn't cost him anything except for his signature. Now, that guy I would call stupid. But I'm not going to call you stupid if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. But I will say this. This is a matter of faith. I'm going to be real honest. This is a matter of faith. And I understand it's scary. I understand that you don't know if you can trust God or not. And I get that. You don't know if you can trust this man named Jesus, who I claim was God, but you don't know that. And I understand why you're on the fence about that. It's not as simple as the car thing. But here's the thing about that car thing. In the simplicity form of all it takes is an agreement, all it takes is an admission of you can't do something and that someone else can, that is how simple that is. So this is my plea. You're made out of dirt. And I'm made out of dirt. My plea is that before your body returns to that dirt, before you're buried, do you find a way to take what God has given you, this soul, to take what God has given you, and put it into another body through Jesus Christ? I have Kathy come and play piano. That'd be great. If y'all could bow your head and close your eyes, I just want to open up the invitation here. My first question for you today is, are you vain? Do you live thinking that things in life are more important than what you're meant to do? Or that what you look like or what people think of you is more important than what you were meant to do? Dirt is dirt. Are you vain? But then I want to ask you, are you prideful? Do you lift yourself above others? Do you separate yourself from others? Do you not let Jesus Christ? Are you more stuck on being up on top of everything than being down where Jesus Christ is? Are you more concerned with yourself than what you were meant to do? And lastly, do you know what happens when your body returns to dust? Do you want to be for sure on what happens to that breath, that soul that God gave you? Do you want to be for sure? And if you do, I want you to come down here and we'll have someone talk to you.